So our difficulty becomes to be a Buddhist under such conditions. Now, there are, of course, some things which can be experienced and also thought about quite legitimately and put into words, certainly well enough for practical purposes. But there are some things which can't be thought about or described at all, things which are beyond thought, beyond words, which at best can just be indicated, pointed out, suggested, hinted at. Things like, really, the things which we express with the help of such words as enlightenment, or nirvana, or Buddhahood. These all point to, or pertain to, realities which are really beyond thought and speech. And all these terms are really provisional. In using them, we don't really say anything at all. We just indicate a certain direction. We don't really say anything about them. We don't really describe them. That's why in the Lankavatara Sutra, one of the most important, one of the most famous of all the Mahayana Sutras, it is said, the Buddha is represented as saying, that from the night of his supreme enlightenment to the night of his final passing away, a period of 45 years, the Buddha has not uttered a single word. You might think, then, well, why all these scriptures? 55 volumes of Chinese Tripitaka, 45 volumes of Pali Canon, 108 volumes of the Tibetan Kanjur, all the word of the Buddha. But in the Lankavatara Sutra, the Buddha says that he hasn't uttered a single word, meaning that those realities, those truths with which the scriptures deal, are not dealt with as it were descriptively, that indicate, hinted at, in reality, in the ultimate sense, nothing has been said, because beyond thought, beyond words. There's one Indian teacher in fairly modern times who used to say a rather interesting thing. As you know, probably, according to the Indian tradition or custom, if anything, if, say, an article of food touches the lips, it's defiled, as it were. Another person cannot touch it. So this particular teacher said that everything in the world has been defiled, because everything in the world has passed through people's mouths. There's only one thing which hasn't been defiled, because it never went through anybody's mouth, and that is reality itself. The same sort of idea, the same sort of thought, same sort of thought which is non-thought, we may say, occurs in the Vimalakirti, Nirdesa Sutra, another very important Mahayana Sutra. Vimalakirti was a wise bodhisattva, a householder of Vaishali, so wise that even the most eminent of the Buddha's disciples, bodhisattvas, were rather unwilling even to meet him and enter upon a discussion. One day a discussion arose amongst some of the disciples as to what is the nature of reality. So they all had something to say, that it was this or that, gave quite beautiful descriptions and expositions, but they weren't satisfied. So it decided to send one of their number, the wisest of them, to Vimalakirti, to ask him what reality was. So he went, the Bodhisattva Manjushri went, the Bodhisattva of perfect wisdom went to Vaishali, to Vimalakirti's house, the various preliminary skirmishes, as it were, of debate, and then he put his question. He said, "Sir, tell me, what is the nature of absolute reality?" So the text says, Vimalakirti, the great bodhisattva, the householder, maintained a thunder-like silence. Very significant expression, a thunder-like silence. If you or I are asked, we might also maintain a silence. But it would be the silence of ignorance. A silence, of course, which we might try to fill with words, just to bluff ourselves and bluff other people. But Vimalakirti didn't care to do that. He maintained a thunder-like silence. The silence was thunder-like because he knew. And it was silence because he knew also that what he knew couldn't be expressed. So he maintained a thunder-like silence. So all the bodhisattvas, all the disciples present, burst out into applause, and they said, Vimalakirti really knows. Vimalakirti really understands.